Not that she needs any references, whatever, but I don't know that we have known each other even 3 years yet, but going on, just about 3 years. And it is rare when I meet someone and immediately feel that we are going to have a good time together. And we have shared many laughs, most of which I will never tell you about, because that's right. And you're not going to from here. No. That's right. There is the confessional seal. But in all truth, there are few people that I have encountered that I so easily and readily and immediately am able to call my sister. And Reverend Deborah is among them. She is a professionally trained musician as well. And she formerly served, most recently, the Episcopal Parish St. Philip the Deacon here in Portland. So please join me in welcoming Reverend Deborah Brown to the pulpit of MCC Portland.
Good morning. As always, children are welcome to stay, or you need to go and have some family time, carry on, but you're welcome. It's nice to see children in the church. That's a beautiful thing. Bye. It's like, see ya. To the shepherd of this church, to my buddy, my boo, Reverend Nathan, who's been my friend. And you know, when you're a clergy, it's hard to find good clergy friends. And that's a good brother right there to me. To your staff pastor, Reverend Diane, to Reverend Darren, to your music director, Kristen. Girl, I wanted you at my church. I was trying to get you. To Matt, your accompanist, to your webmaster, Nicole, to your board members, I know it's hard work, but you're doing a great job. To Paul, Cheryl, Mark, Steve, Kathy, and Daryl. To all the members of MCC Portland, I greet you with the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen. In case y'all didn't say amen, I brought my own amen corner with me this morning. I have my dear friend Joy Pruitt right there. And you know, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God, and I have my partner, Pam, with me. And to her left are her nieces. In case you thought you partied too hard last night, they are identical twins. You are not seeing double. You've got, yes, someone says, shoo! Summer and Lindsay, and Lindsay is sitting beside her love, Dustin. So I'm blessed to have them with me this morning. Let's give them a... I want to say thank you to MCC Portland before I start preaching. Several years ago, I had major surgery. I think it was 2013. And I worshiped here. And I want you all to know that you were a part of my healing process. I had major surgery. And I came here because there's healing in this place. Amen. I came here because the Spirit of the Lord is here. And now that I'm between cures, discerning where God is calling me in my next pastorate, we come here to worship. And so I want to thank you for being a fabulous church. Oh, y'all like, whatever. You're a fabulous church. You're a fabulous church. It's fascinating to me. I've been in the Diocese of North Carolina on the East Coast. I've been in the Diocese of Rochester, and now I'm here in the Diocese. And all the clergy would get together and talk about, how do we become a welcoming church? How do we do hospitality? How do we do worship? Every clergy meeting, we have to get another book to read to learn how to be a welcoming church. And all they have to do is come to MCC Portland. And they would learn what it means to be a welcoming, loving, kind, spirit-filled, from the pavement to the pew.
Amen.
Church.
Amen.
Let us pray. Most welcoming and holy God, it's preaching time. We ask you to send down your Holy Spirit and move about this place to transform and change our hearts. Encourage us, lift us up, burn away anything that is not of you. Set our hearts afire that we will go out and do what you've called us to do. And most gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be music unto your ears and a sweet smell unto your nostrils. It's in your Son's name that we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I am getting close to living half a century. Ooh, that sounded bad. I'm getting close to being 50. And I was inspired by that movie, The Bucket List. I said, I better get it going before I kick the bucket. I better do what I want to do. So I made this beautiful list of things that I wanted to do on my bucket list. And one of them was, I wanted to take this martial art called capoeira. I'm a tough sister. I wanted to take capoeira, and it's a kind of martial arts and a kind of dance. I wanted to do that before, you know, I leave this earth. And let me tell you what capoeira is. It originated on the slave plantations in Brazil, and the slaves were developing a fighting style, but they disguised it as a dance. So the slave master thought they were just dancing, but they were really fighting. I wanted to learn how to do that. So as they're spinning and flipping, and you see them on American Idol, they have those people up there doing all those martial arts, flipping one arm, handstands, and doing all these beautiful things. I want to learn how to do that. But there's some challenges with capoeira. In the dojo, where Pam and I go, there's no contact. You're just dancing and doing moves with your partner, and you're turning and you're flipping and you're doing handstands. But the beautiful part of it is when you turn and when you flip and when you bend, you have to keep your eyes on your partner. You may be turned upside down, but you got to look at your partner. You may have your one hand handstand, but you got to look at your partner. You may be flipped upside down, but you got to look at your partner. You have to turn and look. Because when you don't turn and look, you're inclined to not know what your next move is going to be. Amen. If you don't turn and look as your partner is kicking to the right, you need to kick to the right too, because if you go the same direction, you're going to collide and you're going to hurt yourself, and it does hurt. But isn't that like our lives as Christians? We go out into the world and we're turning and we're flipping and we're doing all these things. We're doing spiritual gymnastics. We're trying to live in this broken and fallen world, and somehow we forget and turn and look at the one who sent us. We forget to turn and look because we're so caught up in, I gotta bend this way. It's like that game Twister. But you gotta keep looking at the one who sent you. I know you get tired. I know you get frustrated. But you gotta turn and look at the one who sent you, which is our Lord and Savior. I know they broke your heart, but you still gotta turn and look to see the one who's with you. We have to keep our eyes on God and turn and look, even in the midst of emotional heartbreak. We have to turn and look when we physically just can't take it no more. We have to turn and look when we just don't feel like saying another prayer. When we turn from God, it's because we are so caught up in our pain and our suffering, we forget to turn and look. Am I the only one? when your change is strange and your money is funny and there ain't nothing in the refrigerator but cold air and a lonely light bulb, we forget to turn and look. When you go to work and they say we got to lay you off, we forget to turn and look. When your heart is broken, they say, baby, I don't love you anymore. We forget to turn and look. When you just can't get up out of that bed because you can't deal with another day and you regret seeing the sun coming up, we forget to turn and look. But why do we need to turn and look? Why? Because God provides us comfort. God is there with you. God is still in control. No matter how much chaos we may be going through, God is still chilling, as my students used to say. No matter how, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, God's like, I got this. I got it. I sent you. I don't know how to pay my bills. God said, I want to cow in 1,000 heels. I'm wealthy. I will care for you. I will provide for you. Turn and look at me. We get distracted because we think we have no purpose for our life anymore. And God is saying, I got purpose for you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and called you by name. I got a purpose for you. I know it looks bad and it may feel bad, but I still got purpose for you. Just turn and look to me. I know you want to turn to Jack Daniels. See, somebody went there and I wanted to catch you and bring you back. I know you want to turn to the casino. I know you want to turn to the needle. I know you want to turn to the pill. But I need you to turn and look at me, for I'm the author and finisher of your faith. God is with us. And all we have to do is just turn and look. The reading this morning from Revelation of Divine Love by Blessed Julian of Norwich shows us how pain and suffering distracts us from discerning the presence of God. Oh, y'all, some of y'all sitting there going, oh, we don't know what she's talking about. Let me ask you something. You have left church and let you slam your finger in the door. What do you say? My God. You got distracted real quick, didn't you? Let somebody cut you off on the highway. Let something happen. You get distracted real quick. Suffering distracts us, and we forget the presence of God. In the Revelation, Julian of Norwich is a Christian mystic of the Middle Ages who devoted her life to solitary prayer. And she stayed in a small cell connected to St. Julian Chapel in Norwich, England. And she stayed there all her life in one small room attached to the church. And during an illness in 1373, she should have died. But she experienced these visions where Jesus talks to her from a crucifix. It becomes animated. And he starts sharing his love for her. And as she's sick through the course of the night, she has these 22 visions. And in the morning, after she receives all these visions, she miraculously is healed. And for the next 20 years in her cell, she reflects theologically on the meaning of these visions. And we have what we have today called the Revelations of Divine Love. The parable, the vision of the Lord and the servant, is one of those visions. What's beautiful is that the Lord and the servant are together. They're right beside each other. The Lord is right at his servant. You're my servant. The servant's like, you're my Lord. And the servant's just like, what's he going to, what's next? What am I going to do? What's next? What's next? What's next? And the Lord looks at his servant with such love and such, that's my dog right there. I love him. I love him. He's so sweet. But I got to send him out to do something for me. And when he sends out the servant's ready to go, and he goes, and I'm going to say he. I know I should be losing inclusive language, but I'm going to say he. He runs out, going to do the will of his Lord. He's running, and he falls to a pit. He falls, and he loses his wit. He can't think, and because he's in so much pain, he may have broken something. He's bruised. He's discouraged. He's down in the pit. It's dark. He can't see his Lord. Isn't that like us? We're trying so hard. We just want to serve God. I just want to be a great usher. I just want to be a great musician. I just want to be a great teacher. I just want to be a good partner. But why do they have to say that to me? Why you guys sing the same song? You preaching too long. There's a misspelling in the bulletin. I didn't like that picture. And you're just trying to serve, and here you go. Bam! You're trying to cook a good meal for your partner. There's no salt in it. Pam doesn't do that to me, y'all. Okay. And in the midst of all that pain, and you just want to serve God, you get discouraged. But what the servant doesn't do, what we don't do, is in the midst of all that, if we could just turn and look back and see the one who sent you. Yeah. Amen. And the Lord is sitting there going, I got you. Amen. Get up out of there, girl. Wipe your tears. I'm right there. And the beautiful part about this vision is not only does the servant, only thing he has to do is turn and look, but all he has to do is be aware that the Lord is right there in the pit with him. He's in the pit right there with him going, come on, baby. Come on, come on. I know they're getting on your last nerve. I know, here they come again. I know your back hurt. I know your head hurt. I know your heart is broken. I know you are afraid. I know you don't see a way out, but I am with you. I am here to comfort you. I believe in you. That's right. But we get so caught in our pain. But what happens when we do turn and look at the Lord? What happens? I'm glad you asked. I like playing tennis. Just started playing tennis. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And I've been playing USTA tournaments in Vancouver as a singles player. And I got 49-year-old legs, and some of these girls I'm playing got 24. And I remember in several matches, Joy was there and Pam was there. And I was doing the best I could, but I was getting tired. One match went on for 2.5 hours. Should have been done in an hour. But I remember I was starting to doubt myself. Why did I pick tennis anyway? I'm too old to be here. Maybe I should just forfeit. The other girl is just too good. My ankles hurt. My knees hurt. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I can't do it. I don't know. And I remember I hit a ball into the net. And I just turned and I looked up, and there was Pam and Joy up in the gallery. And they were smiling. They looked at me. Now, they could have been thinking, girl, you're getting beat. They could have been thinking that. But what they looked at me lovingly. They looked at me sweetly, and I knew they were there with me on the court, but something stood up in me. I said, all right. And I bounced the ball, and it was on afterwards. When you turn and look, and I don't know, sometimes we have to look at creation in order to see God. If you have to look at a hummingbird, let it be God. If you have to look at the color of the leaves, let it be God. If you have to look at the cry and hear the cry of a baby, let that be God. If you have to hear a word of scripture, let that be God. If you hear a song that touches your heart, let that be God, that it will strengthen you, that you will continue on the path that God has put you to. You know, I love Mary Magdalene, who was really the first apostle. She went back and told them, the men that were hidden in the room, scared, that the Lord has risen. She's an apostle to the apostles. But you know what? Sometimes we fall into painful places, and other times we just stand outside dead places looking in. Sometimes we're looking and peeking and scared, as my students would say, scared. Mary is upset. It has been a violent night. She has seen her Lord get beat worse than a dog, been denied by everyone. There's been violence all night long. She has seen her Savior, the one that delivered her from all these demons, who gave her a new lease on life, who has given her a new way of being. Have you ever had that before? The Lord give you a new way of life? And now she can't find him. He's in a tomb. But Mary goes and she peeks in and she's looking for him. And the angels go, what you looking for? He ain't here. And Mary gets into her drama. Where are you taking my Lord? He ain't here. Why are you weeping? He's not here. But we don't know why Mary all of a sudden turns. But she just turns and she sees what she thinks is the gardener. And she gets into her drama. Where have you taken him? Where have you taken him? Why are you weeping? Why are you weeping? We forget the promises of God. He did say he would rise again.
Yes, he did.
But when we get into our drama, we forget that Christ has risen. And because of his resurrection, we have power.
My God. Yes, thank you.
But all of a sudden, Jesus called her by name, Mary.
And she knew it.
The good news, my sisters and brothers, is Jesus is calling us each by name. Mary, what you weeping for? Deborah, what you weeping for? Pam, what you weeping for? Nathan, what you weeping for? I am here. And because I'm here, you are. And you can. The good news is Christ is calling each of us by name. We don't need to be afraid. God is with us. And God is calling each one of us by name. I know it hurts. I know you're in the pit, but I'm with you to get you out. You know what? Do y'all remember that little plastic toy? You blow it up, and it was the clown, and it had sand in the bottom. It had that red nose. And every time you hit it, it fell down, and it came back up. That's what Christians are. Every time you punch me, I'm going to get back up. Every time you punch me, I'm going to get back up. It might be slow, and I'm going to weeble, and I'm going to wobble, but I ain't going to fall down.
Amen.
Turn and look, my sisters and brothers. Christ is with you as you look in the dark places. Christ is with you when you are in your dark places. Wherever you go, Christ is with you. There's nothing you can do. Christians, we fall down, but we get back up.
Amen.
And if you ever, 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 ever forget, if you ever forget, at least make it here on Sunday morning when you get that bread and wine. Because when you turn and look, You see love, grace, and mercy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My sisters and brothers, just turn and look.
Amen.
And receive the comfort and peace and Lord, and comfort, peace, and compassion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.